Father Dwight Longenecker wrote this story about St. Nicholas back in 2014, I want to say. And about the actual original story. One of the things about St. Nicholas that is true story, he actually did give to the poor, to the poor children. And if you read what the church writes about him on his feast day today, that part of the story is part of it. He also, yes, he's a heretic slapper. We need a St. Nicholas today to go slap that Simonetti creep. Who's the LGBT Q ambassador for the European Union. How did a 4th century heretic slapping bishop from southern Turkey wind up being a fat Coca-Cola swigging American elf? Is the way that Father Longenecker begins this. By the way, you could chat about this in the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat. St. Nicholas was born into a wealthy Christian family in the 3rd century. His parents died in a plague, and having inherited the family fortune, he decided to obey the radical call of Christ and give it all to the poor. So he became famous for his generosity to those in need, his love for children, and his concern for sailors and ships. Did you know? I didn't know this. I read this in Don Prosper today. Did you know that St. Nicholas is the patron saint of Russia? Another true story. He's the patron saint of children and of sailors as well. And there's a reason for that. Yeah, you know what? I think we should proclaim today here for all Crusader Knights as Slap a Heretic Day. If my buddy Peter is out there listening, hey, buddy, today could be a good Slap a Heretic Day. Now, can we extend Slap a Heretic to Slap a Blasphemer Day? Which we covered in the first hour of the program. Bishop Nicholas was exiled and imprisoned during the persecutions under Emperor Diocletian, and after his release, attended the Council of Nicaea in AD 325, where he famously lost his temper and slapped the heretic Arius in his face. This is all true. Now, some people say that's just legend. Well, legend does not mean fable. Fable and legend are not the same word. And I'll give you an example. You may use a legend on an analog atlas map to understand what you're seeing on the map. Is the map true? Is it an actual thing? So a legend is just basically it's an oral, primarily, oral tradition or traditional story that has been passed down from generation to generation. So the legend is that the Bishop of Myra was sitting there listening to this heretic Arius drone on endlessly, and he had had enough of him. He was wondering why the other bishops were there. Somebody stop this freaking idiot. And so St. Nicholas got up, walked across the room, and just what's the sound effect, Maggie? Whapam? And whapammed him, as Mrs. O'Connell would say, and shut Arius up. Interesting as well that we don't think about these things these days, but maybe we should. For those of you that go like, why do you think that your Catholic faith is the one true? Why do you say it's the one true? Because at a council like this one at Nicaea, what were they discussing? Errors among the faithful. One of them being the term that if you're a Catholic, you would use a little inside baseball here is consubstantial. So from the Latin version of the creed, consubstantialem patris is one of the errors. What comes out of this council that's famous for St. Nicholas slapping Arius? Well, you know it today as the Nicene Creed. If you're a Catholic, you know it. You probably know it. You should know it by heart. You know, that reminds me. Let me just stop right here because my show and I could talk about this if I want to. You know what I saw yesterday? I saw Satan losing big time. I saw two infants, a couple of weeks old, baptized in the Latin Rite. And they say that Father Faber had said once upon a time that the Latin Mass is the most beautiful thing this side of heaven. I don't know, bro. A baptism with a fresh baby there is pretty darn beautiful. The real thing to me, though, that was that stood out to me, and I got a pretty good view of it because I was at the front waiting to make the announcement before the Mass, as I do every Sunday, is one of the guys that was, I guess he was probably the brother of either the husband or the wife. I didn't recognize him, but he was standing there, and he wasn't the godfather. Up there where the baptism was taking place, and as Father Damien was doing the chrism on the baby's head and reciting his name or whatever, I could see this guy bawling, and this is a big, burly, beefy man. I could just see him just bawling his eyes out. His shoulders were shaking, and he was crying tears of joy, and it truly is. You know, you see that and you go like, well, you lose. The church will be around for at least one more generation. So that to me is the proper way. Yeah, one baby named Fulton, I assume for Fulton Sheen, and one named Peter for the Prince of the Apostles. Okay, back to Father Longenecker and St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas died on the 6th of December, 343 in Myra, and was buried in his cathedral church. Legends grew up about his generosity, and throughout the Middle Ages, he became one of the most popular and wonder-working saints all across Europe. Now, jolly old St. Nick, a.k.a. Santa Claus, is a secular figure used to promote godless good cheer and commercial consumerism. What in the Hades? What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Asks his father, Longenecker. St. Nicholas traveled well because, among other things, he was the patron saint of seafarers. Therefore, the first Europeans to arrive in the New World traveled with St. Nicholas as their patron saint. On his first voyage, Christopher Columbus named a Haitian port for it, St. Nicholas, on the saint's feast day on December the 6th, 1492, in Florida. Now, how's this for some trivia, you Floridians? Do you know what the name of the town is that was named St. Nicholas? What's its name today? Your time starts now, Roger. Best of luck. All right, enough of that. Did you answer Jacksonville? On his first voyage, Columbus named and in Florida, the town named Jacksonville was first called St. Nicholas Ferry by the Spanish explorers. So he named a Haitian port St. Nicholas and a Florida town St. Nicholas Ferry. Today they call it Jacksonville. How do you like that? That's one strike against Florida. The Protestant revolutionaries were not enthusiastic about saints, but the celebrations around St. Nicholas Day were so popular that they had trouble stamping them out completely. Northern Europeans, especially the Dutch, continued to celebrate with a man on horseback dressed as an Eastern bishop in red vestments and flowing white beard processing through the streets. Remembering Nicholas' gift of gold to redeem Chirons about to be sold into slavery, the celebrations included parties with childish hijinks and gifts of nuts, apples, and sweets placed in shoes and stockings left beside beds before the hearth. Charles Coulomb today, Sir Charles, on his Twitter, posted a picture of his shoes filled with candy today. and claiming that St. Nicholas had filled the shoes up. The popular version of the narrative is that the Dutch brought St. Nicholas Day customs to the New World. However, historians disagree and suggest that it was German immigrants in Pennsylvania who kept the feast of St. Nicholas. They were the Pennsylvania Dutch, the Dutch meaning Deutsch or German, rather than the Dutch from the Netherlands. It was from Pennsylvania that the St. Nicholas celebrations made their way to New Tenochtitlan, and only after American independence did the Netherlander Dutch in New Tenochtitlan begin to remember and celebrate their heritage. The St. Nicholas Center website reveals that John Pintard, the influential patriot and antiquarian who founded the New York Historical Society in 1804, promoted St. Nicholas as patron saint of both society and city.